David, thank you for that song. It was beautiful, and I was blessed, truly blessed by that. And thank you all for inviting my wife and I here to worship with you today. It's truly an honor. And I also want to thank you for your continued support of Christian education. I can tell you that it is paying off. We have some incredible young people and amazing teachers at CVCA, and I just want to thank you for your time, your resources that you give to our students for Christian education. One morning I had a student, a young man, come up to me and say, and I used to coach, so he said, "Coach, what can I do to make a difference for Christ in my home, my community, and at my school here?" And at the time, I was working with what we call creeds with my football team. And so I would have my guys think about what they wanted to be remembered for. And I was going through Luke. And Luke chapter 10, verse 25 came to mind. An expert of the law came to Christ and said, "Teacher," and I love that name. I love that name. Said, "Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" And the Lord answered, or the teacher answered and said, "What does the law say?" Now that's perfect for a teacher to have discovery learning, and all your teachers know that. Christ didn't just give him the answer. He said, "What does the law say?" And I believe this expert was quoting from Deuteronomy 6 when he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Let's pray. Father God, as I think of you, I ask that you come into my life right now. Come in and make my words your words. I pray for the congregation to open their minds up to your calling. Whatever you have for them, let them hear, Lord. Use me today. In your name, amen. It was Friday, and I knew I had a lot of errands to do. And so I was kind of nervous. And so my wife had just finished. My wife, Teresa, and I would make her stand up, but she said, "Don't do that to me today." And so you have to listen, right? My wife, Teresa, just got done decorating my office, and she's very good at it. And we got online, and we looked at, we needed something to finish it off. We needed a couple of chairs. And so we got online, and we looked at Office Depot, and they had the chairs, the perfect chairs. And so part of my to-do list was to go pick these chairs up. And so we got in the car and we drove to the Office Depot. And we went in to get the chairs. I asked the clerk, "Do you have these chairs? We saw them online." And he said, "Let me check." And he goes over the computer, he types in. And he said, "Well, we just sold our chairs today." But across town, we have another store, and let me check to see if they're there. And if they are, I will have them hold them for you. And I said, "Okay." So he did. He called, and I said, "Well, tell him I'll be there in 15 minutes to pick them up." And he said, "No, you won't. It's going to take you 30. And I said, "You don't know how I drive." And so I got in the car, and I drove a little bit fast. When your wife is white-knuckling the dash and praying, you know you're driving probably too fast. And we get there. I run into the store. I grab the chairs. I open up the back, and we put the chairs in, I close it, and I open the car door to get in, and then it happened. It was the look. Now, you gentlemen know what the look is. It's the look your wife gives you when she wants you to do something she knows you don't want to do. And that was the look I got. And she said, "John, there's a lady across the parking lot She has a flat tire on her van, and it doesn't look like she has anybody to help her. You need to go help her. I said, man, it's Friday. Oh.
We're having people have a hard time hearing you. Does it not concern you?
Okay, thanks, David. You hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, Teresa gives me the look, and you don't argue with the look, but I'm sitting here thinking, it's Friday. I need to get home. I need to get home before Sabbath. Can't break the Sabbath. Now, I don't want to change a tire. I'm in my good clothes. Changing tires are dirty. It's probably the dirtiest thing to do. And I go over and I ask the lady, do you need some help? And she kind of had a puzzled look on her face. And I go, oh, she doesn't speak English. I'm off the hook. This is great. And so I start to turn around and a little boy, probably 5 years old, jumps out of the van and he goes, Mister, are you here to help us today? Now, I like kids, but this kid, I was a little taken back by. I wasn't sure if I liked him at that point in time. And so I said, yes, I am. And what's your name? And he says, it's Juan. I go, my name's Juan, too. And so we get everything out. And he's talking the whole time. He did not stop talking the whole time I was changing that tire. And so we got it changed. I got everything put back. And he goes, we did a good job, didn't we? And I go, yeah, we did. And he reached up. And I think he was trying to shake my hand. But he just grabbed my hand. And he goes, thank you. Jesus loves you. Whoa. I was very taken back. You see, I was so worried about the Sabbath. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. My question is, why did God put those in that order? Why did he put heart first? And I believe, this is a quote, and I don't remember where I heard it from, but somebody said, if your heart is right, your actions will be pure. Your heart is right, your actions will be pure. The expert of the law pushed a little bit because I think he wanted to justify himself, and he asked Christ, who is my neighbor? Christ started telling the story, and I love the story. It's probably one of my favorites in the Bible, of the Good Samaritan. And as I was researching a little bit about the Samaritans, because I was curious why they were called the subculture people. This tribe that invaded Israel up in the north, and as much as the Israelites wanted to run them out, they could not for some reason. And they stayed there, and for years they stayed there, and the Jewish people and this tribe kind of got along, and then they got married, and then they had children, and those children became the Samaritans. And for Christ to use that word was very radical in that time. So he said there was a gentleman coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell in the hands of a robber. The robber stripped him of his clothes, beat him, left him half dead in the ditch. And along came a priest. Along came a priest, saw the man in the ditch, stepped around and walked on. I can't imagine what the expert of the law was thinking about that time. Then he said there was a Levite, and the Levites were actually the religious leaders of that time. The Levite came along and saw the man there, stepped around and walked on. And then a Samaritan came, and the Samaritan stopped. And he ministered to this man and took him to the inn stayed with him that night, and then paid the innkeeper the next day to take care of this man. And then Jesus asks the expert, which one of these three men were neighbor to this man? And it's funny because the expert could not say the Samaritan. He did not say that. He said it was the man that showed mercy on him. And Christ said, go and do likewise. Wow. So I was doing a little bit of study about Romans and how they occupied the land. And they had some customs. One of the customs were that they could ask a Jewish citizen to carry their load, their backpack, for a mile. And I just want you to visualize just a little bit. Roman soldier standing in the city center, knowing the 614 laws that the Jewish people needed to have to keep the Sabbath. And one of them was they couldn't carry a burden on the Sabbath. In fact, if they wanted to go somewhere on the Sabbath, they had to plan it out, and they would put food by the road, and they could travel so many steps, and then they would sit down and eat, and that would become their home, and then they can carry on to the next spot. I imagine these Roman soldiers were going, this is a little odd. And so imagine this Roman soldier standing on Friday in the city center, and he's looking around, and he finds this Levite who is a religious leader of the town, and he walks up to him and he says, hey, I need you to carry my backpack. Almost sundown. Religious leader grabs that backpack and he starts to run because he knows he has to get there and back or he would break the Sabbath. It's kind of like helping a lady with a flat tire across the parking lot of an Office Depot store. So he runs, and I can imagine him running, and he gets to that mile marker, he throws that backpack down and he kind of kicks it a little bit, maybe spits on it, I don't know. And as he's running back home, because he has to make it back, he probably mumbles something as he goes past that Roman soldier. Now, let's say it's the same Roman soldier, the same scenario, and he sees Jesus, and he knows Jesus is the teacher. And he goes up to Jesus and he says, carry my backpack. And Jesus picks it up and starts to walk with him. Soldiers take him back just a little bit. And as they're walking, Jesus is talking to them. Yeah, how's your family? Do you have a family? How is it to be so far away from home? How's your job going? Well, probably not that question. But how's your friends? You know? And as they get to that mile marker, the Roman soldier stops and Jesus looks at him and says, now let's go another mile. I'm not done talking to you yet. And by the time that second mile's up, Jesus and the soldier have what we call a relationship. And I think in my mind, sometimes our religion could be more important than relationships. And I think what Christ is saying here in the creed, and a creed is simply this. It's a guideline for your actions. It's a guideline. And I really believe that this verse, that this, the greatest commandment, was Christ's creed. It was his guideline. It's what he based his actions on. And I'm just wondering what kind of world we would be living in right now if we based our actions on that creed that Christ had. You see, we have to ask, who is our neighbor? You see, the priest answered this question. They saw the man laying there and said, what would happen to me if I stopped and helped him? The Samaritan came along and said, what would happen to this man if I don't stop and help him? Who is our neighbor? You see, to the expert of the law, the wounded man was a subject to be discussed, talk about. To the religious leaders, the wounded man was something to be avoided. To the innkeeper, the wounded man was a customer, somebody to collect a fee. To the robbers, the wounded man was somebody to extort. To the Samaritan, the wounded man was a human being that deserved help. But to Jesus Christ, all of these people were worthy to die for. That kind of changed my thought about helping somebody in a parking lot with a flat tire. You see, I believe that Jesus Christ is the ultimate people person. Jesus Christ created us. Jesus Christ came down to live among us. And then Jesus Christ stretched his arms out and he died for us. So we need to ask, what is your greatest commandment, Jesus? And what can I do to change my home, my community, and my school? May our hearts guide our actions, and may our hearts be true and pure. Let's bow our heads. Father God, as we go through this life, Lord, help us to focus on what needs to be done. Give us your eyes, give us your heart, give us your feet, give us your hands. Help us to see what you see. And Lord, help us to have courage to do what you would do in any circumstance. And help us to lift you up to all, that you may be glorified in our actions, Lord. We ask this in your name, amen.